What's the principal reason we should be concerned about the special forces?
Well, the special forces, their job is to guard, you know, U.S. interests, regardless of other side effects that this might have. They go into a country and they'll train with an army like Indonesia's or Argentina's. In subjects that don't seem to have anything to do with those countries' needs, but seem to fit our needs. Courses like foreign internal defense, which is just a nice word for counterinsurgency, keeping order in domestically, mountain warfare, bombing techniques, a lot of counterterrorism now, obviously, a lot of intelligence skills that anybody with any concern for human rights, anybody with any concern for social justice in these countries would be very alarmed by. Looking at the list of JSET topics, and we've got some of them for recent years on our website, will make the hair stand up on the back of your neck.
When you say they're helping countries keep order, I could imagine that a lot of people would think, well, that sounds reasonable. How does it translate when the rubber hits the road? What does that actually mean, keeping order?
Well, I don't want to imply specifically that the special forces are teaching this, although we have no real way of knowing. But keeping order gets, in practice, when the rubber hits the road, tends to mean stifling internal dissent. Keeping order, all of a sudden, the disorderly list of disorderly people starts to include union leaders, school teachers, community organizers, critical members of the media, and the skills that are used, and the intelligence gathering skills, the interrogation techniques, etc., the forced disappearances, a lot of those skills are taught by the United States, even if not expressly for use against those people. That's the way it ends up happening.
Turning things upside down, let's say it was Argentina that was in charge of the JSETs and special forces. And it was the same program. And they were advising the United States on how to deal with Seattle, with A-16 in Washington, with the anti-WEF stuff up in New York. What kind of advice would the Argentinian Special Forces be giving the U.S. government on how to deal with all these rabble-rousing protesters and long hairs and short heads and all of that?
Well, gosh, it was the Argentine military that killed 30,000 people between 1976 and 1983. It's not hard to imagine what they'd be advising the United States. It would be something even worse than, more explicit than we're advising them.
But say if it was the Argentinians, as sort of for argument's sake, had the exact same U.S. Special Forces. And it was, let's say the U.S. Special Forces were asked by Tom Ridge, please train us on how to deal with these protesters. What kind of training programs do you think they'd come up with to give, say, the NYPD or the Washington Police Force or the Seattle Police Force?
It would be teaching them a lot of crowd control techniques, but often, you know, they would not be, let's put it this way, if it's a special force is giving it, they're not really putting the focus on relations with the community and working together to find a common solution or anything like that. It would be controlling the crowd, finding the ringleaders, and taking them out.
And so that, for instance, the Black Bloc kids, they would sort of be at the top of the
Black
Bloc
kids would be, they would teach them how to infiltrate them and how to just, you know, take apart their organization. And surveillance and intelligence would probably be on the list, on the top of that list.
And when we talk about intelligence, again, people would think that all that means is just finding out what's going on. What else is involved in when intelligence?
Well, how do you find out what's going on? You do it either through listening in on all communications, but also through the so-called human intelligence. You infiltrate, you put some of your own people in there, or you actually try to pay some of the people in that, the group you're trying to monitor to give you information. Which, of course, leads us to have a lot of real charming people on our payroll all over the world. Then the information that's used, or the information that's gathered, who knows how, in whose hands that ends up. I mean, in Colombia, a country, like I said, we're working on a lot, there's a real concern that if we pass on intelligence to the Colombian military, which has this really long and documented record of collaborating with paramilitary groups, what's to say that intelligence about guerrilla movements, for example, in certain village won't result in when passed along, won't result in a paramilitary massacre in that same village.
So is it fair to say, as we think about these trainings and keeping order and maintaining stability, that we're really talking about keeping the status quo?
Absolutely. The status quo and stability are what the United States wants. I mean, you, especially in Latin America, which is our traditional sphere of influence, whatever, but it's, we want stability because, you know, A, the status quo obviously benefits us. Our economy grows and even if others don't, and our standard of living keeps increasing. But we also want to be able to buy and sell in those regions. We want to be able to get resources out of those regions. Right now, a key example of that is the Bush administration is now proposing to give $98 million to Colombia's army to protect an oil pipeline, which is run by a Los Angeles-based company called Occidental Petroleum. And the argument they're using, is not that, you know, we want to pay back an oil company that's given us, you know, so much, so many campaign donations. No, it's that we don't want to be so reliant on Middle Eastern oil in this new post 9/11 atmosphere. So my point there is that we are trying to extract things from these countries on the best terms possible. So a lot of it is economic.